All of you can come out. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. He said tonight we were going to look at the furnace that is hell. While you found your place in Luke, we will look at some of the things that concern hell. We will ask questions like, who will be there? Who will be in hell? Is there any clear word on that? Is there any word from God on who will be in hell? Do we have any confidence as to know whether we'll be there or not? And the question is, you can know. The Bible makes very clear who will be in hell. He says in Psalm 9:17 that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. So we know here that the wicked will be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God will be in hell. In Matthew 25:41, they say to him, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So we know that the devil and his angels will be in hell. It says in Revelation 20:15, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." It says in Matthew 23:15, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." And it says, "You serpents, you generation of vipers, how shall you escape the damnation of hell?" Hypocrites will be in hell. Isaiah 5:11-16 says this, "Woe unto them that rise early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp, and the viol, and the tabret, and the pipe, and the wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands." Listen to that. We've made a point this week that that is the thing that man is doing with God. We've said it over and over again. We've heard it half a dozen different ways, haven't we? That the thing that man is doing is, he is not regarding the work of the Lord and he is not considering the operations of the hand of God. You cannot go on in your life living the way that you always have lived, ignoring the salvation that God has prepared in Jesus Christ, and ignoring the demands that God has laid on the lives of man and expect to be in heaven. And he says, because of this, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down and the mighty man shall be humbled and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness." Many times people look down on you because you say you're saved by grace through faith. Oh, you need that salvation. He says here, the lofty will be humbled. It says in Isaiah 14:9, that hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirs up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, "Art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave and noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations?" There's one misconception about hell, and it's this, that Satan rules in hell. That's a lie. Satan's not going to be any different in hell than anybody else. As a matter of fact, I believe he's going to have it worse than everybody else. Look, he says that hell is going to stir up from beneath. It's going to be moved to receive him into it. Why? Because hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. We've already heard that. That is the whole purpose for hell. And it's going to be ready. It's going to stir up. And all these kings and all these nations that forgot God and all these people that didn't get saved, they're going to look at Satan as he comes down and they're going to say, "How are you fallen, you mighty one? You're become as we are. You're become weak as we are." And there where the worm dieth not, it says the worms are spread out. Who's going to be there? In Matthew 22:11, it talks about the king who made a feast for his son, a wedding. And the king came in to see the guests, and he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest in thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Here's one who came into the king's feast in his own robes. He came into the feast in his own clothing. And what it speaks to us of, it's a man coming into the presence of God with his own righteousness on, and not the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God has provided garments for the wedding with the Lamb. And those garments are the righteousnesses of Jesus Christ. It is the righteous act of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, period. It is the righteousnesses of Jesus Christ. And when we put these on, we come into the presence of God in that wedding garment alone. And outside of this, everyone will be cast out into the outer darkness. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but you've heard about weeping and gnashing of teeth. You've heard about the worms that spread themselves out. You hear about all horrible kinds of things that are in hell. Let's continue as we read here. Right now, there's what I would call a waiting cell. It's Hades. It's what we see in Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, let's start at verse 19. Very familiar story. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they will not hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The moment this man landed into hell, he became an evangelist. The moment that he reached the fires of hell, he started crying out, anything, just give me a little bit of water, send somebody to my brothers, and just let them know so they won't have to come here. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, look, they've got Moses and they've got the prophets, and they can hear them. And if they won't listen to them, then there's no hope for them. And people want some kind of message from beyond the grave, and people want somebody to show them hell, and people want all this, but God has said, you have Moses and the prophets, and you can listen to them, or you're going to end up here. And that's what he says to you this evening. You listen to the word of God, or you end up here. This is the waiting place, though. This is not the lake of fire that we find out about in Revelation. This is a temporary waiting place of fire. And it's associated with the soul, just as death is associated with the body. In Acts 2:27, it says, You will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Now, in this portion, you find out it's hell as in Hades, which was in two portions. The paradise and the fire. Well, this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, so he went to the paradise part. But in speaking as the whole, the soul goes either to the paradise part in that day or to the fire part. And there was a great gulf between them, and this was what Abraham was talking about when he talked to Lazarus, to the rich man. And this place of hell was the place where the soul would be left. And whenever it speaks of Luke 16:23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, what had it just said about the rich man? It said, and the rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes. He died, and he was buried. His body was buried in the grave, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. So his body was still in the ground, but his soul went down to the hell. And he was very much conscious. He was very much awake. He was very much knowing what was going on. There was no doubt what was going on in his mind. He knew immediately. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Who decides who goes into hell and who does not? We'll look at that in a little while, but I want you to think about those words. It says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, sometimes it helps us get a mental picture of what's going on whenever we hear things like the lake of fire or of Hades or things of that sort. So the lake of fire was really the valley of Hinnom. It's on the lower side of Jerusalem. It's the place where they used to take their trash and they would dump their trash. They would take the bodies of prisoners and they would dump the bodies of prisoners in this same area. And it was in this area that they made sacrifices to the false gods such as Moloch. And they would build a fire in this idol and it would be made out of brass and it would have arms out like this. And they would take the babies and they would lay them in the arms of this idol. And as that idol was just red hot, it would consume the body of this baby. And while it was being consumed, they would beat drums to that drown out the screams of the children. And whenever Jesus Christ talks about the lake of fire, it's the lake of Hinnom, Gehenna. It's based on the valley of Hinnom. And it was a place where the worm never died because there was constantly the bodies of criminals were being carried down there and cast onto this rubbish heap. And the worms always had something to feed on, so the worms never died. Even though at the same time they had fires going, which they kept fed with fire and brimstone to burn up the rubbish and the filth and the trash. While the fires were burning and the smoke was ascending, at the same time the worms were flourishing. What a terrible thought to have fallen into that place alive. Could you imagine walking out there and being thrown into that fire alive? Well, that's sort of the idea that we get. It was a place where the offal of the city was put. They always kept this fire burning. Now, I don't know if you've ever burnt sulfur, but I tell you, if you're ever going to preach on hell again, go burn you some sulfur and breathe that smoke one time, just one little whiff. Because when you breathe that smoke, it takes the air out of your lungs and it chokes you. And one person told me that's where you get sulfuric acid, was from that very smoke. So that whenever we talk about hell and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and he talks about a lake of fire where all those that are damned will be finally cast, here you are, you're drinking hellfire and brimstone. You're breathing hellfire and brimstone. You're burning inside and out, and there's absolutely no relief. And there's absolutely no end. And there's no way to get away from it. Even if you come up out of the lake of fire, you come up into the smoke. And it doesn't matter where you go, you're always there. What a torment. It says it comes up as the smoke of a furnace. And you know that a furnace is kept burning at its hottest. It's kept constantly in an extreme flame. It's not like a fire we would build like with firewood and it sort of feeds off the oxygen and it burns. Whenever you talk about a furnace, you put the wood in that furnace and you blow air under it and you fan that flame as hot as you can get it and you keep it going like that. That's how furnaces operate. And here they are in hell forever and the fire is continually burning forever and ever and it's burning at the top pitch that it can burn. And yet at the same times he tells us that you can't see anything because it's called the mist of blackness and it's the place of darkness. And you think of a furnace, you think of someone being closed into a furnace and the fire's burning as hot as it possibly can and they can't see a thing and they're weeping and they're gnashing their teeth and the worm is feeding on them and yet they never die. I can't imagine a place any worse than hell. You know, he gives an example of those. He says Sodom and Gomorrah in Jude 1:7. Well, Jude 7. He says that they are set forth for an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And you remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. They had gone into the sins of homosexuality. And it says they were filled with bread and they didn't care anything about God. And they were going on about their own lives and they were living in sin and they even tried to rape angels when they came into the city. And God finally judges Sodom and Gomorrah and fire and brimstone rain down from heaven and it just consumes the place. Burns it up. And he says, this is an example of those who suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. I asked you a while ago, according to Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Who is that? Who is it that has the keys of hell? That says, if this person goes into hell, I decide it. If this person doesn't go into hell, I decide it. Who has those keys? First of all, he says, I'm he that liveth and was dead. Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. The one who was crucified and buried, he was very much dead. But he rose again the third day, and he's alive forevermore, and he's in heaven, and he has the keys of hell and of death. He has every claim as sovereign of all. He said in John 5:26, for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. And has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. The Father gave to the Son the authority to execute judgment. He says, don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good to the resurrection of life and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So the judgment of the Son is the judgment of the Father. And whatever God the Father decides, God the Son does. So on the judgment of the great white throne, you remember it said, I the Lord try the reins, I the Lord search the hearts, to know how he's going to render to every man. And God the Father has searched our hearts. He has tried our reins. And he tells us in Romans that he will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. God has looked into our hearts. He has seen our secret sins. He has seen our hidden sins. He has seen the sins that we thought nobody knew about. The secret sins. The hidden sins. The private sins. And by Jesus Christ, he's going to judge those sins. Who could be more familiar with that than Jesus Christ, the Lord? Who was born in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Condemned sin in the flesh. He was born in the likeness of sinful flesh. And it said he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet sin apart. And here is the one who knows what all these sins are like. He knows what all the temptations are like to bring a man to these sins. He knows every little secret. Not because he partook of them, but because he knew what they were. Hell can never be satisfied. Proverbs 27:20 says, hell and destruction are never full. Hell and destruction are never full. Remember, we've already heard that hell hath enlarged herself and she has opened her mouth without measure. There's no danger of one more soul dying and not going to hell, any more than there is a danger of one more soul dying and not going to heaven. There is room in heaven for everyone. And there is room in hell for everyone. And what you do with Jesus Christ determines where you will be. Hell referred to as the pit. It speaks of Lucifer. And his sin was, you said, I will ascend unto heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'll sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Remember what he told Adam and Eve? Eve, you shall be as gods. And essentially this is what man is doing. He is still saying, I will be as God. I will do my own thing. I will do my own ways. I will carry on with my own life. I will gain my own righteousness. I will be as God. You shall be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. He speaks in Revelation 9 that when the fifth angel sounded, a star fell from heaven to the earth, and unto him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And it says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. I believe it's the same pit that he's talking about in Isaiah 14 and 15. It's where the fire is burning and will never go out. Let's look in Matthew 25 at verse 31. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. Naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, or took thee in, or naked, or clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these, the least of My brethren, you have done it unto Me. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from Me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me not in. Naked, and you clothed Me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited Me not. Then shall they say, they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Now I want you to notice something when we read through this. The king comes to him and he says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you gave me clothes. I was in prison and you visited me. And the people answer him and they said, when were you naked and we clothed you? When were you in prison and we visited you? When were you hungry and we fed you? We can't recall this. And he says, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. All those that are the children of the Lord Jesus Christ, they know His voice, they hear Him, and they follow Him. It's not just that we look around and say, well, which one's a brother, and we're going to help them, and we're going to... No, the voice of the Lord speaks to His children, and they know. And it's this very thing that convicts these other people. When Jesus says to them, listen, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't give me any clothes. I was thirsty and you never gave me anything to drink. I was in prison and you never visited me. And whenever they say, Lord, when did we see you naked or sick or thirsty or hungry or in prison? And what happens is their own words condemn them. Let me read you the words here. It's gonna be a long one, but I want you to listen. Please listen closely. He says, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You are now by the book of the creatures, by the book of God's remembrance, by the book of the law, and by the book of life, adjudged guilty of high treason against God and me, and as murderers of your own soul. Listen to that. Jesus says you are guilty according to the law, you're guilty according to creation, you're guilty of treason as murderers of your own soul. Think of that. What a heavy thought. Everyone that is in hell, everyone that spends eternity in hell forever, murdered their own soul by rejecting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And they're guilty of the very last sin they commit at death is. They murder their own soul because they refuse to come to Him by faith. I've heard of people say, well, can a person who commits suicide and go to heaven? Well, I'll tell you what, this is a much worse question right here. This is the question people should really be asking. Can a person who murders their own soul go to heaven? Because that's the one I'm worried about. I'm not worried about the Christian that's in depression and commits suicide, whether they'll go to heaven or not. I'm worried about the person who rejects Jesus Christ and says, I don't need God, and they die in their sins and they murder their own soul. They're certainly not going to go to heaven. This is the question we should ask people. What about the people who murder their own souls, not their own bodies? He says, as these faithful and true witnesses here have testified, that is the book of creation, the book of life, the book of the law, every one of them appearing in their most upright testimony against you. Also, you never had a saving work of conversion and faith passed upon you. You died in your sins. Neither can I find anything in the last part of this book that will serve your turn. No worthy act is here recorded of you. When I was hungered, you gave me no meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. When I was a stranger, you took me not in. I was naked, but you clothed me not. I was sick and in prison, but you visited me not. I have made a thorough search among the records of the living and find nothing of you or of your deeds therein. Can you imagine standing before God and then Jesus Christ says to you, you never fed me, you never clothed me, you never visited me. There's nothing in my book that commends you to me. You have ignored me. You have ignored my salvation. You have ignored my life. Depart from me, you cursed. Thus will these poor ungodly creatures be stripped of all hope and comfort, and therefore must needs fall into great sadness and wailing before the judge. Yea, crying out as being loath to let go, for all is lost. They don't want to say, here they are standing before God, and He says, you didn't visit me, you didn't clothe me, you didn't feed me, you didn't recognize me, you didn't get saved, you didn't accept me as your Savior. And now they're saying, I'm grabbing for the last straw, I can't be lost, I can't go to hell. No! You don't hear people saying that today. But in that day, not one lost soul will say, all right, I'm going to hell. I'm going with all my buddies. They're going to be standing before a holy and a righteous judge with hell looming below them. And they're going to say, no! And they will catch hold of anything. It says, even as a man that has fallen into the river, he will catch hold of anything when he's struggling for life, though it tend to hold him faster under the water and drown him. He says, here's a man caught in the rapids. He's caught and he grabs a limb. And rather than that limb hold him up above the water, that limb stops him and the water starts rolling over him and it sucks him down into the water. And yet he holds on to that limb for dear life even though it's drowning him. And he said, this is what it's going to be like when these people stand before God. Listen to what they say. They will bring out yet one more faint, weak groan, and there goes life and all, their last sigh is this. Lord, when saw we thee hungered and gave thee no meat? Or when saw we thee thirsty and gave thee no drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger and took thee not in, or naked and clothed thee not? Or when thou wast sick or in prison and did not minister to thee? You see what happens? Their cry is, we didn't know. Their cry is, we didn't do it because we didn't see it. Lord help us. If you stand before God and you say that, you condemn your own self. Anyone that stands before God and say, I didn't see you hungry, and I didn't see you thirsty, and I didn't see you in prison, and I didn't see you in need. The reason they didn't see Him was because they closed their eyes and they turned their heads and they didn't want to see Him. No one's going to be in hell because God just said, I'm going to put you there. They're going to be in hell because they rejected the Lord. They rejected His salvation. That's what this is saying about them. It's saying that you just rejected me. You would have nothing to do with me. This is the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I want to read you one more article. It's just this brother he's hit the heart of it. I believe this is John Bunyan. He's hit the heart of hell and what it's going to be like. The holy shall be in everlasting light, but the sinner in everlasting darkness. Without light, I say, yet in fire ever burning, yet not consumed, always afraid of death and hell, vehemently desiring to be annihilated to nothing. Can you imagine now you're laying in the fire, you're in the pit, the worm is devouring, yet you're never dead? And you're desiring death. You're desiring annihilation. You're desiring to disappear, but you can't do it. Continually fearing to stay long in hell. You're in hell and you're saying, oh no, I just can't, I'm afraid I'm going to be here tomorrow. What if I'm here tomorrow? This is all a bad dream, but maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow I'll come out of the pit. Maybe tomorrow I'll wake up and this fire was not really real. And this was really a dream that I swooned into, and it was a nightmare beyond all nightmares. And I'll wake up and it won't be real. And yet the next day it's the same thing over and over again. And they're dreading it. And they're fearing it. And they're hating it. Oh, that there wouldn't be a tomorrow. Oh, that I would be destroyed in this fire. Ever desiring the saints' happiness, and yet always envying their felicity. They would have it, because it is easy and comfortable, yet cannot even abide to think of it, because they've lost it forever. Here they are in hell, in this situation, and the last thought they have is, the saints of God are with this holy, glorious, beautiful God in this perfect heaven, and here we are in hell, in our sins. Ever laden with the delight of sin, and yet that is the greatest torture. Always desiring to put it out of their mind, and yet assuredly know that they must forever abide the guilt and torment thereof. Oh, that I could get rid of these sins. Oh, that I could get this sin out of my mind. But they can't get it out of their mind. What did we say about mankind? We said he's by nature a sinner. He's a sinner down to his very core, and the fires of hell will not burn that out of him. And he'll be in the torments of hell forever, knowing this very thing has got me here, and this very thing has caused me to burn here, but I still can't get rid of it. I can't imagine. Here you are, you delighted in sin. And now it's the very thing. It says that they shall be held with the cords of their iniquity. When the godly think of hell, it will increase their comfort. But when the wicked think of heaven, it will twinge them like a serpent. Oh, this eternal judgment. What would a damned soul give that there might be, though after thousands and hundreds of thousands of millions of years, an end put to this eternal judgment. But their misery is that they have sinned against a God that is eternal. They have offended a justice that will never be satisfied, and therefore they must abide the fire that shall never be quenched. Here is judgment, just and sad. They have offended a God that is eternal. They have sinned against an eternal God. They have an eternal soul, and they must abide the fire of eternal judgment. He says to us that Jesus Christ has taken the judgment of God on the cross at Calvary. He has sat there in the darkness, and when he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from the words of my roaring? It was because he was underneath the eternal judgment of God. And he says, here we will be forever if we do not trust Jesus Christ for our Savior. Because Jesus Christ is the sole and only payment for sin forever. And everybody that's in hell can never pay for their sins. Understand this. That you may be in hell for a billion years, and yet you've never paid the first farthing for your sin. You've never paid the first dime. You've never paid the first penny against the debt that you owe. Because you don't have the ability to pay. You don't have the currency to pay with. The currency was shed on the cross at Calvary, and God received payment in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says to you and me, He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Take my currency that I offer to you freely in my Son. And when you accept this, you accept eternal life. And I give it to you as a gift. It's by the grace of God. He says, I want to give this to you because I love you. This is the only currency that will be any good in eternity. The blood of Jesus Christ, He said, which is more precious than silver or gold that perishes. Have you accepted that? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Have you accepted God's currency for salvation? The blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from before the foundations of the world for our sins. God is not enjoying the destruction of the wicked. He tells us that. He desires that no one would be lost. He said, whosoever will may come. He said he wants all the world to be saved. The Son of God died for all the world, and that includes you. Are you part of the world? If you are, then he died for you. But that's no good to you until you believe, until you receive, until you repent and turn to him. My prayer would be this evening that you would be saved. That you'd come to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And be saved from this terrible place that's called hell. He didn't prepare it for you. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. You choose to go there tonight. And you condemn your soul to hell and you murder your own soul. Let's pray. Father, we pray for every soul here. Lord, that one that is sitting there and thinking, I'm not saved. Lord, we just pray that you'd give them the boldness even now, to accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, we're always here to talk to them. Lord, you know that. We just say this for their benefit. But Father, we know that you can save us right here. The danger is that we may go out and die. We may go out and get in a car wreck or something, Lord, and we've never accepted you as our Savior. But Father, you know. Lord, you said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on the Son hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Father, we pray tonight that that person would trust you as their Savior and be saved. It's no fault of yours, Lord, and it's no weakness on your part that they're not. So, Father, again, we commit their souls to your keeping. In Jesus' name, amen.